Okay, you taped.
We're ready.
Yeah.
Okay, today we're going to go through the Seder, Erev Pesach a little bit. The Seder, especially this year it's Friday night, the first Seder, so there's a little bit, then there's certain laws that you need to keep in mind. Okay, searching for the chametz, we discussed that if you're going to make your kitchen Pesachik earlier, you need to do B'dikas chametz the night before. Let's say you're going to make your kitchen Pesachik this year Monday. You're going to start cooking for Pesach. So Sunday night, you're going to have to do B'dikas chametz in the kitchen without a bracha, because if it's chametz all over the place, how in the world can you start cooking and baking for Pesach? Okay, but as far as Erev Pesach is concerned, okay, it's forbidden to eat matzah. That's... Now, also, Chabad custom is that we don't eat, and this is where people have a misunderstanding, misconception of the minig. We don't eat from Erev Pesach until the end of the sandwich at the second Seder. Okay? We don't eat any of the ingredients of the Moror and the Chareses. It's Chabad custom. It's not halacha, it's Chabad custom. Which means, we don't eat horseradish, we don't eat apples, we don't eat pears, we don't eat nuts that you put into the Chareses. Okay? Those things we don't eat. That means Erev Pesach, if you want to eat an apple, our custom is not to eat an apple. The first day Yom, if you want to eat a pear, our custom is not to eat a pear. So from Erev Pesach in the morning until the sandwich of the second Seder. That means, just in practical point of view, if somebody wants to serve applesauce the first night at the end of this for dessert, our custom is not to do it. Okay, because it's apples and it's still part of that. Because this year is Friday night, the Seder. Okay, by the way, you can eat chametz until 10:40. You have to burn the chametz, get rid of it, sell it by 11:46 a.m. Friday morning. Now, because the first Seder is Friday night, I'm going to say practical. Everything that you're going to be using for the Seder must be done before Pesach, before Shabbos. Okay, you can't roast the zeroah, you know, the shank bone, or whatever, you know, the neck, what we use, the chicken neck. You can't do that on Shabbos. You can't make salt water on Shabbos. If yeah, you have to make an exact amount that you're gonna need. So, chareis is also, you can't grind up things on Shabbos. It's Shabbos, it's not Yom Tov. So therefore, everything that you get, the hard boiled eggs, all these things, you have to make sure you have to go through the Seder, you know, and make sure that everything that you need for the Seder is going to be done before Shabbos begins. Okay? Now, what?
I'm sorry. So, if we brought it in early, we can't say the blessing, but we do the burning of the...
Correct.
Then when do we say the blessing?
Thursday night, when you do B'dikas Chametz in other rooms.
Okay.
Okay, now, let's discuss for a minute the Seder plate, because that's what you need to know. Okay? I'm talking about Chabad custom. There's millions of customs, but we're talking Chabad custom, right? Top right of the Seder plate is what's called the Zuraya. Okay, what do we use for the what's called the shank bone in English?
Well, thank you.
Okay, what do we use for it? We use the neck of a chicken. That's Chabad custom. A lot of people use a lot of different things. Our custom is to use the neck of a chicken, and we roast it, but we take off most of the meat from the neck. Okay, there's basically a little drop of meat left, but primarily it's a bone. For the beitzah, our custom is to use a hard-boiled egg. Okay? Then, for the...
Peel it or don't peel it on the Seder plate?
The Rebbe Seder plate, the egg was not peeled until the meal. The mordor in the middle, so our custom is to use...
Even on Shabbos, it could be with the peel on the table?
Yeah. Romaine lettuce and horseradish.
What did you
romaine
say?
Lettuce.
For the moror, our custom is romaine lettuce. You have to check them before Shabbos for bugs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And horseradish. We use both. The next is the chareses. We have a mixture of apples, pears, nuts. In Chabad, we don't use cinnamon or ginger on Pesach. So therefore, originally that was what the chareses was made out of. But by us, it's very simple. You have apples, pears, nuts. That's it.
But I thought you said we didn't have that until the next day.
No, no, for, besides the Seder plate.
Oh, okay.
Besides the, at the meal.
So don't use wine on it? When Shabbat, when we go Friday to Shabbos, don't we put the wine in before Shabbos?
Some people either put the wine in before Shabbos, or we'll get to that. What they do is they take the chereses and put it into the Kiddush cup, which has wine at the bottom of it, and that's what we do. And again, for the chazeres, which is the second martyr, again, we use romaine lettuce, and we have the horseradish. Now, Chabad custom is, we have normal Jews, have the matzah and the seder plate, right? In our circles, we put them all together, which means like this. We have a tray at the bottom for the matzah.
Right.
Then we put the three matzahs right. with a napkin or a cloth in between each matzah. And then you cover the top of the matzahs with something waterproof. So people use aluminum foil or whatever it may be. And then we put the Seder plate directly on top of the matzahs.
Okay.
The reason we do that, by the way, because then you have all 10 attributes of God. The three matzahs is Chochmah, Bina, Das, the intellectual levels. The six things on the Seder plates is Chesed, Gvor, Teferes, Netzach, Chayit, Yisayit. And the tray at the bottom is Malchus. So therefore, according to the Arizal, you have all 10 things together. The three matzahs, which is intellectual level, the six things on the Seder plate, plus the tray at the bottom, which is...
What?
The Chochmah. Okay, so that's the Seder plate. Okay, now, because it's Shabbos, you need to have everything ready before Shabbos. Everything from the Seder plate, the mortar, the chalices, the karpas. Okay, now, then you have karpas. What do we use for karpas? So the Rebbe writes in the Haggadah either onion or a cooked potato. It seemed that the Rebbe preferred onion over potato. So you have onion for the karpas. And again, the bottom chazeres, the maror, is again the same thing. Okay? So you have the three matzahs. You have to make sure they're not broken. They need three complete matzahs. A napkin or a cloth in between each one of the matzahs. You cover the matzah and then you put on... Now, in halacha, it says like this, that ideally, this is the women's department, ideally, everything should be ready to go. I mean, everything should be set. The only thing the custom is to do after you come home at night is to organize the Seder plate. But everything else that you're going to be having on the table should be set before everybody even comes home from shul. And then I come home from shul, we organize the matzahs and the Seder plate and all that. Issue number two, which is very important for women to know, and then both nights of Pesach, you're not allowed to eat roasted meat. No roasted meat. There's something called pot roast. You know what pot roast is? You cook the meat in its own juice. You don't add any of the liquid. That is not usable on Pesach. For the Seder. As long as you put in a little bit of liquor, whether water, wine, no beer, it's chametz. Whatever you want to put in, so then it's okay. But to have a pot roast that just has the no added liquid, just the meat itself, is too similar to the Paschal lamb, to the Korban Pesach, which was roasted, and therefore we don't want to do any similarities to that.
But if you put wine in, is that fine?
Yeah, so you put wine in, it's no problem. It doesn't have to be a lot of wine. As long as there's liquid in the thing, it's good to go. Okay, so now, let's start with the Seder. According to Halacha, believe it or not, men and women are equally obligated to all the mitzvahs of the evening. Whatever a man got to do, the woman got to do. Pretty good. Whatever the woman has to do, the man got to do. That's not a mitzvah. That's a part
that's
of the mitzvah.
Yeah, how come the women don't have to?
One minute, relax. We'll get there. I can't.
It's a male.
Huh?
Nothing.
Okay. So now, the Kiddush cup has to hold the revius, which is a little over 3 ounces. Okay? Mm-hmm. The Kiddush cup should hold 3 ounces plus, if you can.
We say Shalom Aleichem quietly.
I didn't get...
We're going to tell you, Hat Coats.
She wants to be sure.
So the cup, this you have to have before Pesach. Make sure you don't go looking for a Kiddush cup that night.
I have one. I got it.
Okay, good. So you have a Kiddush cup that's a little over three ounces. By the way, when women bench licht, that's earlier, by the way, you have to forget, don't forget it's Friday night, you can't bench licht late. You have to bench licht 18 minutes before sundown, because it's Shabbos, it's not only Yom Tov, it's Shabbos also. Okay. When you bench licht, the brachas lahadik ner shel Shabbos, vishal Yom Tov, and shachiyon. No, it's lahadik ner Shabbos vishal Yom Tov is one bracha. And then the second bracha is Shachiyonu. Okay? So the woman benches licht, obviously, before the meal.
Are
you
supposed to have Shachiyonu in mind,
isn't it? No, that's only Rosh Hashanah. Now, so you're ready to start Kiddush, right? Mm-hmm. So everybody has the cups. Now, normally what happens during the year? Mm-hmm. During the year, the husband, let's say, or the man of the household makes Kiddush, and then everybody gets a little bit of the wine, and they drink the wine. You can't do it this time, because everybody needs to drink 4 cups of wine. So you can't just listen to somebody else's Kiddush and then get a little bit, because you need to have your full cup of wine. So there's a few options of what you could do. You can either, before Kiddush is made, everybody has their cups filled. Okay? Then the head of the household makes Kiddush. Everybody listens to the Kiddush and says Amen. Okay, then when they finish the Kiddush, everybody sits down and drinks the wine.
Cool.
Yeah. Now, when you're drinking the wine by the Seder or eating the matzah, the mitzvah is to drink and to eat, not to sip and not to nibble. The chatchila, it's best to drink the whole cup of wine in one shot. If you can't drink wine, use grape juice or mix wine and grape juice, okay? But you need really, preferably, if a person has a problem with that, they have to drink more than half the cup. You have to drink more than half the cup.
If it's not wine?
The grape juice, same thing. The minimal amount of drinking is...
More than half
of the cup.
Got it.
Preferably, the whole cup. Okay, before Kiddush, 1 second. Before Kiddush starts, there's a lot of different customs with Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil. It's Friday night. Do you say it? Do you not say it? The end result of Chabad custom is we say it quietly. So you don't sing it. Everybody just says, doesn't say it. Say Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil quietly, but you don't sing it. Okay, then you get ready for the Kiddush. The man makes Kiddush. Everybody sits down. Now, if a woman wants to make her own Kiddush, she could. But then she omits the Shachiyonu at the end of the Kiddush because she already made it when she lit candles. You don't need to make it twice. So if the man is making Kiddush, you're just listening, answer Amen, and that's it. You know, you drink the wine. But if you're making your own Kiddush, then you can't say the Shachiyonu again because, you already made it. You can't make it twice. Okay. What?
You're supposed to have, like, red wine.
Yeah.
Can you do, like, a little bit of grape juice? Can you do, like, a mixture of grape juice and, like, the Barton or white wine to make it red?
Yes, you could. If possible, you don't have to do it this way. If possible, you should put in the red wine first, and then add the white wine.
You mean the red grape juice?
Whatever, the red, whatever you're using.
The red is first.
Okay, so that's Kaddish. Now, men have to recline, unless if it's a student at their teacher's table, or, but otherwise, the custom is to recline. Women don't recline. We don't have enough time to go into it. Prominent women did recline. Every woman is prominent, but today they don't recline. A question of sneers, a question of this. Liberal women, the custom is all over the place, basically, that women don't recline by the Seder. After you make Kiddush, after Kaddish, you do Urchatz. Okay? Orchatz is, you wash your hands without a bracha. Why are we washing our hands without a bracha? Because next we're going to eat karpas. And karpas is the onion dipped into salt water. And things which are dipped into liquid really need to, you need to do a washing for it. So therefore, even though we don't do it a whole year, people are not careful in the whole year, but for the Seder, that the kids should say manishtana. So after you make Kiddush, you drink the wine, or the grape juice, then you do Urchatz, you wash your hands without a bracha. That doesn't mean you could talk, you still shouldn't talk. Because really, there's only a question, why are you not making bracha? Because there's an argument if you should make a bracha. But you're washing your hands for Urchatz, so you shouldn't be making a bracha. Next step is karpas. Okay, so you're going to take the karpas, the a piece of onion or potato, whatever you use, and you're going to dip into salt water, and then you're going to make a bracha bari pri adama. Okay? Now, when you make that bari pri adama on the karpas, you have in mind that this is going also the adama for the maror that you're going to be eating in the meal, after the matzah. Because otherwise there's a question if you need to make or adama on the morid, even though it's after you washed. Okay, so then, karpas, you dip the karpas into salt water. In Chabad, the custom is, without getting into the whole thing of it, we eat a very small piece. Less than a kazayas. Not everybody's hungry then, but you still eat less than a kazayas. Less than an ounce. Because then you don't have a question with an after bracha, and then it'll be a question with the morid. The bottom line is, you take a small piece of karpas, dip it into salt water, you eat it, and we don't recline when we do karpas. Chabad custom is not to recline when you do karpas. Next is Kaddish Rechitz karpas yachatz. Yachatz is we break the middle matzah. I mean, the men usually have the seder place, not the women. But you break the middle matzah, you take the bigger, as they would say in yeshiva, you take the bigger half. You know what a bigger half is? Something that doesn't exist. Okay, you take the bigger piece and you break it into five pieces, the Chabad custom, and you put it away for the Afrikamen. There's a story with Rebbe Rashab, it once by mistake broke into six. He didn't take the sixth piece, he put it away somewhere, and he only put away five pieces for the Afrikamen, of the Yachatz, for the Afrikamen. Okay? Got it? Because it has to do with five levels of gevura and you're sweetening them. It's kabbalistic.
Oh, right.
You know the best sense when you don't know anything, you just say it's kabbalistic. It sounds good, and you know that. Right. Now is a very important part of the Haggadah that's relevant to women, by the way. Magid is one of the biblical mitzvahs. You know, the four cups of wine are rabbinic. A lot of things that night are rabbinic. But one of the biblical mitzvahs is Magid reciting the Haggadah. You got it to Levincha, talking to your children, talking to your spouse, talking to your friends, whoever is at the Seder. Now, women are equally obligated in saying the Haggadah. A lot of times women are in the kitchen, we're figuring out what to do with dinner, or, you know, it's Shabbos, you have to really cook it before anyway. But they need to say. Now, what are the major parts of Haggadah which is obligatory to say? Avadim Ayinu, okay, right after the Manishtan. Avadim Ayinu Arami Evidavi, which speaks about Lavan. Pesach Matzah Umarar, you know, when Rabbi Gamliel says, whoever doesn't say these three things on Pesach does not fulfill their obligation. As we mentioned, every year, contrary to public belief, Dayenu is not one of the main parts of the Haggadah halachically. It's a nice song, everybody sings it, but Dayenu is not a major halachic part of the Haggadah that must be said. You have to say that Avadim Ayinu, we're slaves and we got out and I love him, was an idol worshipper and all that. And you have to speak about Pesach Matzah Morar, you know, the things that the Haggadah says. And the Hallel in the Haggadah, the two paragraphs of Hallel before the second cup and the rest of the Hallel which is after benching. Because the women have to know, they have an obligation to say, now you could say it in English. You don't have to say it in Hebrew. You can say it in English. The best thing is to say it yourself rather than hearing somebody saying it. You know, the best thing is actually to say it yourself according to many opinions in Allah. That's Magid. You finish Magid, by drinking the second cup of wine. Again, you make a bari piyal gofen on the second cup of wine, and the men drink it reclining. But the women also make a second bracha bari piyal gofen on the second cup. Afterwards, you get to the fun part. Rachza. Now you wash your hands again. But this time you're washing for matzah. Right? So you're washing for matzah, now you need to wash full bread washing. You know, three times properly in each hand, and now you make a bracha. Now, here comes another biblical mitzvah of the night, to eat a kezayis, an ounce of matzah. Okay? Now, the men, just to explain what goes on, okay? The men are left with 2.5 matzahs. Remember, you put away half a matzah for the afikamen. So now on the seder plate, you have 2.5 matzahs. One on top, half in the middle, and one at the bottom. Shabbos Yom Tov, you need to have 2 challahs, or 2 matzahs. You need to have what's called lechem mishnah. Okay, so if you need to have lechem mishnah, you need to pick up the 2.5 matzahs. Because you need 2 whole matzahs. Okay, so you make the bracha, baruch atah Hashem makom lechem, ha-metzi lechem min haaretz. Then you drop the bottom matzah, and then you say the bracha, baruch atah Hashem makom lechem, asher kidshanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. And eating a matzah, right?
That's what the men do.
Well, the women have to do that also in far saying the brachas. One second. Now, halacha says, so now you started off with 2.5, now you have 1.5, and you make the second bracha, asher kishon mitzvayis tvanu al achilas matzah, correct? The problem is, you need to eat a kezayis of matzah, 1 ounce of matzah. The question is, do you take it from the top one, or from the middle one? Therefore, what does good old halacha say? Do both. One of each. Kezayis in the top matzah, a kezayis from the middle matzah. The half that you have. Okay? What happens if a person can't eat that much matzah? For health reasons or whatever. You take the kezayis from the top matzah. Now, how much is a kezayis? It's 1 ounce of weight. Some people tell you volume, there's a whole debate and argument and discussion, whatever. But it's 1 ounce of weight.
Did you say that's a half a matzah?
Now.
It depends.
You know, I started a few years ago weighing the matzah before Pesach and then putting into bags that it should be the proper amount. It's interesting. If you have, let's see, Borough Park matzah, it's a third of a matzah is a proud an ounce, because the matzah is very thick. The Ukraine matzah, which is very thin, is like 3/4 of a matzah is an ounce. It depends on, because, let's make a simple thing. You women are very intelligent. A pound is 16 ounces. Now, if you have 8 matzahs in a pound, then you need a half a matzah is an ounce. Correct? Got it? That yeshiva bochum, you got it?
Yep.
Good.
If
it's thin, then you have 10 matzahs in a pound, so then a half a matzah is not an ounce. Right? If you have thicker matzah, then there's 7 matzahs in a pound, so then you need less than a half a matzah. If you have 10 matzahs in a pound, then you need more than a half a matzah. So it depends what type of matzah you have. Now, men, because we don't know, should we eat from the top or from the middle one? So we take from both.
The middle women, left, no?
Yes, you have a half left.
So why don't they take from the top and the bottom? Those two are shalim.
Because that's not the bottom ones. It's for the kodesh. This is for the mitzvah achilas matzah. And a poor man eats. The Gemara says, "Darka shal oni beprusa." A poor man can't afford a whole matzah, so they have pieces.
So they have. Well,
yeah. Anyway. So a woman, let's say, who's getting anywhere matzah from the box or from wherever, has to eat 1 ounce of matzah. Don't even have to try, there's absolutely no reason to try two, because it doesn't make sense. There's no reason to do two. We're doing two because we don't know if it's the top or middle, but you're getting matzah from the box anyway, who cares? I mean, it's not, now, So when the women get their matzah, they make both brachas. Hamaytzi lachem in aretz, asher kedshanu mitzvayis v'tzvanu, al achilas matzah. Okay? Now you have to eat the matzah. So you have to keep in mind a few things. First of all, there's no talking. And women always say, you start eating matzah, oh, this is so thick. It's very good. But you're not allowed to talk. You're in the middle of a mitzvah. If you're in the middle of a mitzvah, you don't talk. Okay? Secondly, again, women don't recline. But this ounce of matzah, to fulfill your obligation, has to be eaten, what's called b'chadei achilas pras, which in minutes is anywhere from 4 to 7 minutes. Which means, to fulfill your obligation of eating the matzah, you need to eat the kezayis of matzah preferably within 4 minutes, but not more than 7. Which means you have to eat it quickly. Now just for the record, when does the clock start running? When you take your first swallow. That's when the clock ticks. And therefore, if you ever go to a religious seder where the men are stuffing their mouths with matzah, doesn't fit Emily Post's etiquette necessarily, but they're stuffing the matzah because they want to get in as much as they could at one time before swallowing, because that's when the clock ticks by swallowing. So you just look the other way if you don't like the way it looks. But you have to eat the matzah, especially women. You have to eat the matzah within 4 to 7 minutes. If not, you didn't do the mitzvah. So there's no nibbling on the matzah. You have to eat it. You have to, no talking. You have to get the mitzvah done. In fact, we don't even dip the matzah into the salt. Normally you dip challah into salt, bread into salt. We don't dip the matzah into salt by the seder because we don't want to get rid of the taste of the matzah in any way whatsoever. We don't want to nullify, you know, get rid of the taste of the matzah, so we have pure matzah.
Can we drink water after that?
You could, halachically. In fact, somebody called me, two people, in fact. They have a problem drinking wine or grape juice. So they asked me, is it possible, like, after the first cup by Kiddush, can they drink a cup of water? They would dilute it, and it wouldn't be so detrimental. They get sick from it. So I told him, yeah, after each cup, you can right away drink a cup of water. I'm not saying you should just go do it, but I'm saying if you need to, you would be allowed to take a cup of water right after you drink the wine. What?
Going back a drop. For Orchat, so we wash for Hamaiti, for... Orchat after Kiddush, not for matzah. I'm talking about
Orchat, you wash like you would for bread, but you don't make a bracha. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, now comes the next fun, maror. Now, maror, you also need to eat a kezayis. Now, if you're using the lettuce and horseradish, they both combine. Now, because maror is rabbinic nowadays, so you don't need an ounce of maror, 3/4 of an ounce would be enough. Which, if you just take the leaves of the romaine lettuce, like 8 by 10, I think.
I thought you have to eat like 4 of them.
4 what?
4 of the marrows, pieces of lettuce.
Depends how big the lettuce is. Huh?
My husband
you
weighs the lettuce also.
You weigh the lettuce, but they say lettuce is all the same weight usually.
Right.
So it's 8 by 10. It's not that big.
But it doesn't weigh anything, so you eat a lot of it.
No, you don't. I'm telling you, it's the size 8 by 10 is enough.
Okay.
It's still big. This is 8 by 10.
What's 8 and that by 11?
So it's like two leaves.
Two leaves.
Well, it depends on the size of your leaves.
It's true.
It's like
so we dip the maror. 1 second. Let's get back to the maror. So before you eat the maror, we try to make the charesis a little bit wet with wine. Okay, so especially because it's Friday night, and this is what the Rebbe did always anyway. He took the part of the charesis from the Seder plate, and he put it into the bottom of his Kiddush cup, which had wine in it. Okay, and then he dipped the maror into the charesis, which had wine in it. And then you make a bracha, baruch atah Hashem, alokeinu melcheinu, asher kedshanu b'mitzvah sivanu, ala achilas maror. All this is in the Haggadah, right? And then you eat the matzah, not reclining. But again, you need to eat the matzah within 4 to 7 minutes. Obviously, it's much easier than matzah, but... Then we go to Kedach, sandwich time. The first combo ever was Hillel's Kedach sandwich. But that was a real combo. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, according to Hillel, they had a slice of the Korban Pesach, plus, 1 second, plus the Marad, plus the matzah. So he actually had a real combo.
Yeah.
You know, it was meat and lettuce and matzah. Nowadays, we don't have a Korban Pesach, so it's just the matzah and the Marad. Yeah. So what?
I'm going back to the Mar. So you said the Rebbe would take the tray and spill some of his wine into the Chareses?
That's not what I said. I said the Rebbe took a little bit of the chareses and put it into the wine.
So what do ladies do that don't have a seder plate? Should we not have wine in our chareses?
No, you can.
Use your cup.
You also have a cup.
He used his cup.
Hello, you have a cup, no?
Saucer.
I don't mean this. I mean this.
Yeah.
So you have a cup with wine in it, no?
The cup we're drinking from.
Yeah, of the four cups.
So you just tell everyone to do that for their own cup.
What's the big deal? Shabbos is a problem pouring wine into the chareses. Yom Tov is not a problem. Shabbos is a problem. So you put the chareses into the wine. Okay, now you got the Kedach story. There was this guy, Hillel. Very great man. Nice guy. Great man. Very humble. Very nice personality.
Sounds like you were having lunch with him or something.
Yeah, I did.
Good.
Hillel said... Now, when the Torah says matzah umreirim yechlu, so the rabbi said it should be separate. Matzah, Pesach, and Marad. They ate them separately. Hillel said, no, the Torah says al matzah umreirim yechlu, you eat it together. So Hillel said, we need to make this combo. Matzah, Pesach, meat, and the lettuce, the horseradish. So because Hillel was a very powerful authority, so we do what Hillel did also. So now we have a bottom matzah. And here, because Kedach is rabbinic, you need 3/4 of an ounce of matzah and 3/4 of an ounce of the mortar. Now, because we're very careful in not getting things wet, not getting the matzah wet, we take dry chareses, that means no wine in it, dip the mortar into that and wipe it off also. We also wipe it off. And then we put the mortar on the matzah, so you have a kazayis of matzah, kazayis and mortar, and then you eat it, the men eat it reclining.
Okay, so we dip it into the wine then, or we don't?
No, kedach, no. You take dry chareses, you take the mortar, put it into the dry chareses, shake off the chareses that you put on, and then put it into the matzah and have the sandwich. What?
Am I the only one who doesn't know what dry chareses is?
Huh?
No, what's dry chareses?
You can't have wine.
So it's, what is it?
Apples, pears, and nuts. Basically, that's our chareses.
It's still like juicy from the apples and everything.
Yeah, but it's not halachically called liquid.
It's not water.
It's very dry, by the way. When, after a while, it stays.
I'm sitting out, it just kind of,
the nuts
up there,
all of those, apple juice.
But the women, again, need to eat the kazayis and matzah. You could be mako 3/4 of an ounce instead of an ounce. And the kazayis and mortar, and you eat it together. Okay? Now, I should have said this before. When you make the bracha al achilas matzah, and a meitzi, you have in mind, it goes for the kedach and the afikim in matzah. Therefore, it says in halacha, it's preferable not to talk until after kedach. Unless if you have to explain the Seder or things pertaining to the Seder. Stam to hakachainik, like they say in America, you try to avoid. The Rebbe brings down some people had a minig, they wouldn't talk until the afikaiman, which means at the end of the meal. So the whole meal you're quiet, which means maybe a great idea. So, but that the Rebbe writes, we don't do, we're not careful in that, and that's it. Okay? So now that you have kedach and you're really hungry, because you had the kazayis and matzah, kazayis and mortar, kazayis and matzah, kazayis and mortar. Yeah, plus 2 cups of wine already. So then you start the meal. Shulchan Aruch. The custom in Chabad is to begin the meal with a hard-boiled egg. You can share an egg. You don't have to eat a whole egg. You can eat a part of an egg. We take the egg, the hard-boiled egg, we dip it into salt water, and we eat it. Again, you can do a quarter of an egg, half an egg, a whole egg, whatever you want.
How do you peel the egg on Shabbos?
With your hands.
It's okay.
With your hands.
Considered by Rare, though, to break.
You can't peel an egg on Shabbos?
I usually peel it before Shabbos.
You don't let them eat eggs overnight.
No, but you can salt or oil.
Yeah, but you can peel an egg on Shabbos. The only question is not better. The question is, the eggshell is mukta. So therefore, people that peel eggs on Shabbos usually do it right over the garbage. But in this case, by the way, you're almost done with everything on your Seder plate. Well, welcome to the shir. Basically, you're done with everything on the Seder. So if you want, you take the egg, you peel it over the garbage, or whatever. But you don't... The custom is not to peel the egg until the meal.
Because you have it. Or just before the...
No, right after you ate the sandwich, the combo,
yeah.
So then we start the meal with the egg.
Can you peel the eggs on a napkin and then you throw
them? A lot of people, I alluded to it. A lot of people peel the egg on a napkin and just throw out the napkin. Some people will just peel directly over the garbage, make sure the egg doesn't fall in the garbage, because then you're not going to use it. And that's it. Eat the egg. Then you have whatever the hostess cooks. Whatever the meal is.
Real meal?
Hmm?
Real meal. Okay, good. We've only had 2 glasses of wine, though, right?
Yeah, meanwhile, 2 glasses of wine, 2 ounces of matzah, and 2 ounces of mutter. And a little piece of onion.
Oh, wow.
So now you're hungry.
Yeah. But we still eat.
And you know what? People still eat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Of course.
Okay. Now, we're very careful in Chabad not to get the matzah wet. So you use plastic bags, whatever it is, in a practical way that you don't get the matzah wet. At the end of the meal, again, remember I said before, it would be customary not to serve applesauce at the end of the meal, because we don't use apples until the second cradle. For the second meal, by the way, the second Seder, then you could have applesauce because it's after the sandwich of the second Seder. That's not a problem.
You can put a piece of matzah in your mouth and then you send the water down, right?
Some do, some don't. Some people, they will only eat matzah away from the table at the beginning, and they won't eat any more matzah, and then they'll come back to the table.
We're using potato for karpas, so we can't do like potato
kugel? I didn't say karpas. It's only the mortar and the chereses. It's not anything from the Seder table. That's what I emphasized before. It's only the mortar and the chereses. So if you want to use a potato for karpas, you can have a potato kugel. You can have french fries also if you want. I mean, if you figure out a way to make them. Before Shabbos, you make them.
Yeah, you have soggy
oil. By the time you get to the meal, you'll be. Okay, now, another highlight of the Seder. All the way at the end of the meal, before you bench, you have a nafi kamen.
Yes, good.
Another piece of matzah. Now, women have it easy, they only eat 1 kazayas, and you could be lenient again to 3/4 of an ounce. Men eat 2 ounces, or 2 3/4 ounces. Now you're happy you're not a man, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but they're not doing all the cleaning.
They're not what?
Doing all the cleaning.
Oh, cleaning.
The men just do the cooking. Anyway, then you eat the nafi kamen again, reclining. In our circles, I mean, it's based on halacha. After nafi kamen, you don't eat anything except the last 2 cups of wine. Halachically, you could drink water, but again, our custom is we don't eat or drink anything besides the last 2 cups of wine. Until we go to sleep.
Oh, but you can have water if you need to take some medicine.
Our custom would be to try to take the medicine before. Now, I tell you, even these women that call me the problem with the wine, I told them even after the Afri came, they have an health issue with the wine. I mean, they could drink water. Halachically, you could drink water. It's our custom not to, but if halachically you need the water, you take water. and drink water afterwards. If you have to take medicine, you can take a little bit of water. But no juice. In other words, if yeah, it's only water. No juice and... Okay, now another point is, before benching, we pour a kais shel Eliyahu. Okay? And then, normally after benching, which you have to say Ritzei and Yalav V'Yavi, because it's Shabbos and Yom Tif, normally you take a candle, go to the door. You can't do it, so you go to the door without the candle. The first night. Second night, you already go with a candle. The first night after benching, you go to the... No, no, 1 minute. I'm jumping it down. After benching, you drink the third cup of wine. Okay. Men and women. So even if you're sleeping, you wake up, and you drink the third cup of wine. Okay. And again, you have to drink at least more than half, preferably the whole cup. The Beirach, okay, we fill up, then you have, after benching, there's a whole bunch of stuff to say. Hallel, Nirtza, the rest of Hallel that we started before the
Miyodeya.
Yeah, you can be your Miyodeya. In Chabad, we don't do all that Miyodeyas. But
when you have a bunch of little kids, what's realistic to expect, like, to ask the kids to, like, when they should be at the Seder and when they could go and play? Because they can't sit for so many hours.
I'll tell you a little secret. Don't tell anybody. Neither can the adults.
True.
Okay. The difference is the kids go play and the adults go to the couch and fall asleep. And that becomes a shaila halachically. If you fall asleep in the middle of the Seder, what do you do with the cups and what do you do with this? It's a big problem. Okay? Make sure nobody falls asleep during the Seder. It becomes a shaila and halacha what to do. What to do with the kids? One of the reasons why you have to rush up the Seder to begin right away is because of the kids. One of the reasons why there is a custom that you know the kids would take the Afikoman or steal the Afikoman, because then the kid would want to have to give it back at the end of the meal and they would get a price for it. So that was an incentive. Sure. There's Pashit an incentive. Even though Chabad we don't do it because you don't teach your kids to steal and get rewarded for it. So what you do is, it's just semantics. Instead of the kids stealing the Afikoman, you hide it and they find it. And if they find it, then they get a price. So the kids should be up as much as possible. You know, just encourage them to be up. The manishtan, obviously, you want them to say. If kids are falling asleep, give them some matzah. You might be in the middle of the Haggadah. So what, give them matzah. Let them drink a little bit of grape juice. Give them a piece of matzah. Give them a piece of mortar. You know, it could be little pieces. It's just educational. Huh?
Give them the walnuts so they can...
In Shulchan Aruch it says, they used to, just to show the difference between then and now, it says you give the kids walnuts to play with that they should keep up. Yeah, obviously. You know, remember the game Marbles?
Yes.
They was such a game many years ago. Pre-Marbles, in prehistoric times, they played with walnuts. They didn't have Marbles, they played with walnuts. So it says in Halachi, Erev Pesach, give kids walnuts that should play with it, that should stay up for the Seder. But
are we obligated to make sure the child has some matzah?
It depends how old the kid is.
What age should we expect them to have all four cups?
6 or 7. Again, 4 cups could be a little bit, 4 times. It could be, you know. You don't want them to drink 14% alcohol, right. 8 ounce cups each time.
Yeah, like a little kid, like the little kiddish cup.
Yeah, again, they're doing it for chinuch purposes. Right. Well, yeah, and you'd be surprised, what's very interesting, kids remember this forever. Mm-hmm. The Seder they had as a kid, they remember forever. What went on. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I mentioned this in another class. The night of Pesach, you have to make entertaining for the kids. Not that everybody's grumpy, and everybody's in a rotten mood, and everybody, you know what I mean? That's what the kids are going to feel. You need to give the kids, before Pesach also, the whole cleaning, the whole B'dikas Chametz, the whole everything should be in a way that the kids enjoy it.
Right.
And not that they're going to hate it.
Can you give us tips how to make it
No. Give them a drop of matzah, but they're 6 or 7. Or even younger, if they understand what it's all about, you give them a piece of matzah.
So just give them a little piece. It doesn't have to be half.
You can give them six whole matzahs if you want. Give him a little piece of matzah. Let him make the bracha, ha-meitzin, ha-lachilas matzah, and then drink the four cups of wine, you know. If they're going to fall asleep, it's, you know, let them do it before that. Okay, then you drink the fourth cup of wine at the end of the Seder.
Okay.
Like we said, we don't drink anymore, we don't eat anymore, that's it. Now, the first night of Pesach, you only say the first paragraph of Shema, because it's a night of protection, and things like that. Now, what's important to move on to the next... Yeah, you say Hallel at night, and you, what?
You say Amapil at the end.
No? Amapil, you do say.
Yeah.
The first night of Pesach, you can't start the Seder, by the way, until nightfall. Which means you can't make Kiddush until... 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
In LA. Okay. 8 o'clock, it's stretching it a few minutes, but 8 o'clock you can start to say, that means you can make Kiddush at 8 o'clock.
Kiddush. Okay.
Second night. Second night is like this. Number one, you can't do any preparations for the first day, for the second day. No preparations. Can't set the table, you can't cook, you can't set Shabbos. Even if it wouldn't be Shabbos, you can't cook. Can't do anything until this. Okay, so as soon as 8:05 comes the second night, then you could do say Baruch Hamavdu Ben Kodesh Lo Kodesh. Because you're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov,
okay.
So Shabbos is holier. Say Baruch Hamavdu Ben Kodesh Lo Kodesh, and then you can start preparing for the second night. Because now it's Yom Tov; it's not Shabbos anymore.
Okay.
The second Seder basically is exactly the same as the first. Except, again, for the meal, you can have the ingredients of the modern, if you want to serve horseradish during, with the fish. By the way, can I see, if you have guests that are not so frum, and they want horseradish the first night with their matzah, and with their fish, let them have it. I mean, let's not go crazy with our things for everybody else that we're happy they came to the Seder, you know, and, okay, second night Seder is the same as the first night, except, the second Seder by Kiddush, you do what's called Yaknahaz. Because you're making Kiddush and Havdalah. Right? Because you're going from Saturday night to Yom Tov. Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. So you make what's called Yaknahaz. So you make Bepri Al-Gafen, the Brach of Kiddush. Then you look at the candle. You don't go like this Saturday night. You look at the candle, make bracha b'yomei eish, then you make the bracha of Avdallah, and then you make Shachyanu again. I mean, if you follow the Agada, that will be in front of you. You obviously are given directions, instructions. Now, another important thing is the first day, Pesach, we stop saying Talumotor at Musaf. We start saying, we start saying Mashiv Aruch Amir Hageshem. We stop saying, now rain is a curse in Israel.
The second night, you said?
First day, Musaf.
So we start the first
day.
Yeah.
So
at Musaf,
day?
First day at Musaf, we start saying Mashiv Aruch, and we start saying Meir Hageshem.
And the next, Chol HaMoed, you say ten bracha.
Correct. Not with Talumotor, we say the same bracha.
Mitzvah
Yom Tov, the second night when you daven Ma'ariv, it's a weekday Ma'ariv, so it's Chol HaMoed, but you say the same bracha then. What else is there with the, then the second night we also have Sfira Sa'omer.
How do we light the second night?
Huh?
What time do we light the second night?
After 8:05. 8:09 if you can.
So you have to light from a pre-existing flame.
You have to light from a pre-existing flame. And you have to first say Baruch Hamavdu Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, and then you can start preparing, then you can start benching licht, and... Okay, are there any questions about the Seder?
You say Kodesh L'Kodesh the second night?
Second night? Saturday night to Sunday. Even the Avdol is Baruch HaTosh Hamavdu Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Yom Tov is not Chol, Yom Tov is Kodesh. It's not the same Kiddush of Shabbos.
The higher to the Kiddush.
But Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Yeah, during the Kiddush, the second night. You'll see in our God that has what.
Yeah, so I should be at their house already doing
that. No, it's that's once the Seder started already.
It's in
that Seder.
Say
Shechion the second night also.
Okay, good.
Now, are there any questions about the Seder? And there's no question about the Seder. Any question about Pesach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just because I just want to reiterate that if I'm cleaning on Monday, then I can't do anything with the sink and the oven until the next
24
day.
Hours.
Then I still can't cook because the next night I have to wait till sundown and do...
search for the chametz.
Exactly. Okay.
But technically, if you could do it, if you clean, I mean, there's not crumbs around, there's no chametz around. You can really do the checking Sunday night.
Without a bracha.
Without a bracha.
Okay.
The only time you make a bracha is when you do it this year, Thursday night. If somebody wants, in Shechon Aruch it says, whatever, you have a big house, and you're not in the mood Thursday night, it's really Erev Yom Tov, it's crazy, you want to do B'dikas Chametz, and their house is basically already, right? So on Tuesday night, you want to do B'dikas Chametz in the whole house. Without a bracha. You're allowed to. You could do B'dikas Chametz in the entire house, but you need to leave one room
so you
could be a bracha properly on Thursday night.
Yeah, because otherwise it doesn't feel like this.
Right. I'm leaving on Wednesday, so I do
B'dikas. Tuesday night in one room. No, I mean, you're coming back in the middle.
Yeah, but
so you have to do B'dikas Chametz in your whole house. Yeah, but you have to do B'dikas Chametz in your whole house. Right.
No bracha.
Bracha is only Thursday night. Not in this case.
After sundown.
What?
I had a few questions. One was, if my house right now is Pesachic and I'm koshering my kitchen tonight, am I supposed to do Dikas Chametz, not with pieces, just look to make sure before?
Tonight,
I don't put 10 pieces, I just look to make sure there's no chametz in the house.
Right.
But if I have, I could still open the cabinet for my kids to take a snack, that's chametz.
Well, I don't know if you wanted your kids to take the snacks and you have
a lock. It has a lock.
I understand. You want crumbs all over the floor?
No, they pack their lunch for school still.
I understand, but they might be bringing droppings of chametz on the floor.
Okay, so basically no more chametz next.
I mean, once you do b'dikas chametz in the room, you can't bring chametz back into the room because then you have to do b'dikas again.
Wait, so when you say you just do b'dikas chametz?
So before you start cooking everything, did you do b'dikas chametz and no more chametz in the house?
No, in that room that you did b'dikas in. I didn't say in the house, that room that you do b'dikah in earlier, after that you can't bring chametz in there.
Wait, so you can't cook for Pesach until you do b'dikah?
In that room, how does it make sense? You're going to cook for Pesach and then do b'dikah chametz 3 nights later? How could you do that? Take a flashlight and look around.
In that room, the whole house?
That room.
With the hiding the 10
pieces? No. That you do Thursday night. But let's say you want to make your kitchen Pesach, you're starting to cook on Tuesday. So Monday night, you take a flashlight, you go all around the kitchen, make sure there's no chametz.
Oh, but you don't do it with a bracha?
No. No bracha, no 10 pieces of bread, no nothing.
So just that room, I don't do the whole house?
No, just that room you could do.
Another question I had is, if we peel all the vegetables, if I peel vegetables, I have two sinks. Could I peel it in either a sink, or is it considered chametz? They only do, let's say, on the right side and not the left side where dishes will sit inside? Because it might have touched chametz and you're rinsing it. It's like you peel the tomato. Could I peel it in either sink?
You want to know if you could put the peels in the place of the dishes?
No. Sink. I peeled the tomato.
Right.
Do I rinse it? Could I rinse it in both sinks, the right side and left side? Or
you don't want dishes in the sink, though, that's all.
What?
If there's no dishes in the sink, you could rinse it.
There's no dishes in the sink. Okay,
any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Matzo balls?
Oh, that's a good point. Now there's a very big problem this year. There's one of the above biblical mitzvahs, is to eat gebrox, matzo balls, on the last day of Pesach. We dafka go out of our way to make matzo way. The question is, the last day is Pesach, a Shabbos, I mean. You can't make matzo balls on Shabbos. So our minig is that we make them on Friday, in separate dishes that we don't use anymore that Pesach. And you make the knelech and you put them away and you have them for Shabbos day. Friday night. Friday night, Shabbos day, whatever. But we do make it on Friday, and we just don't use those utensils that we made it in. We don't use any more that Pesach.
So then, when Thursday we make Erev Tavshilin?
Thursday you have to make an Erev Tavshilin. It's all, by the way, in this thing.
Okay.
What?
I have a big kitchen. So, am I allowed to cook for Pesach? Like, cover everything all fleshed, which is 90% of my kitchen, and leave just like one sink, like my milchik section, where I could still make noodles and cheese for the kids, even after I'm cooking for Pesach. Am I allowed to do that?
If you're careful that it doesn't mix.
Yeah, if I'm only doing it, I don't let my kids in, we eat everything outside.
No husbands and no kids.
Right.
No maids.
Yeah,
otherwise you'll have a chametz tikka house.
Mm-hmm. So that's totally fine.
You have to be very, very careful, though.
Right.
I mean, what?
Do you have to take your kids' shoes and, like, scrub the bottom because they walk it on everything, including Play-Doh? Like,
no, the kids have to do it, not you.
Yeah, I make my kids do it. It's really, I give my kids toothpicks and toothbrushes. Old toothbrushes and they.
No, it's an interesting point. There's a halacha that you have to check the kids' pockets. By the way, women's pocketbooks have chametz in them. Okay, so if you just think about it, again, Yom Tov is 8 days, 4 days of Yom Tov. So you're going to be using your pocketbook maybe 4 days. So you don't need, if you have, let's say, 200 pocketbooks, you probably only need 50 for those 4 days. So you don't have to do b'dikas chametz in 200 pocketbooks. You just take the ones you need. No, I'm serious. The ones you're going to use on Pesach, go through them, make sure there's no... People put candies, gum, pretzels, who knows what they put in. And then the rest of them, if you're too lazy to check them, put them away with the chametz, and then you have no problem.
Can you use turmeric on Pesach? It's a...
Turmeric.
Whatever. If you peel
I don't know.
It, you peel it.
I don't know. Some do, some don't.
It's a very if you peel it, why not?
Some do, some don't.
Some don't.
Except
I thought it was ginger and
cinnamon.
Ginger and cinnamon.
No, but that rice, because that was put into the chareises, so that rice we don't put into the chareises.
I thought ginger we for sure don't use.
What?
Isn't ginger we for sure don't use?
Ginger and cinnamon.
Do you think it's part of the radish family, the turmeric?
I don't know.
You could Google that.
We don't eat radishes in Pesach. Right. That's from the Tzemach Tzedek.
What's part of the radish family that we don't eat?
Radishes.
Aside from radishes. Like turnips?
Yeah, it's like turnips, yeah.
The turnips and the radishes.
No, rutabagas are okay.
Rutabaga is okay,
yeah,
right?
Rutabaga is okay. It's turnips and radishes.
And what about parsnips?
Why bother?
Parsnips are okay. You know, you can Google it. I think we did that last year with our phones. We
did.
Kohlrabi is not considered a radish, right?
No.
Okay, that's it. If you didn't sell your chametz yet, you can sell your